Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie Svedberg. Welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. And today we are going to be talking about maximizing your email marketing. Our guest on the show today, Lisa Ray Preston, has been a great influence in my life. She is an email marketing expert as well as also she helps people understand their destiny, their core values, and how to maximize those for the best results. We are excited to have her today to talk to us about maximizing your email marketing, and welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Marnie. It's great to be here.
Well, and I'm excited to have you on. We're going to cover a lot of ground today. Your background, Lisa, didn't start with email marketing. Of course, it kind of evolved into that became a specialty because of need. But your background is actually in personality theory and neuroscience research. What does that mean? What is neuroscience research?
You know, when I was 20 years old, somebody handed me the book Please Understand Me by David Kiersey and said, I know what you are. Take this test. And it was an adapted version of the Myers-Briggs. And I fell in love at that moment with personality theory. It was as if someone had taken a slice of my brain and smeared it on paper and said, here, read this. And I thought, oh, there are more people like me. So I began researching. Now, I was an elementary school teacher for 17 years and used the Road Brain Grants and used neuroscience techniques in the classroom. And everybody always knew their Myers-Briggs letters and their five love languages and you know, how to interact with people.
Yep.
So that's basically the I have researched personality theory for 28 years and
And when did you begin to use email marketing yourself?
Oh, after 17 years, I quit teaching and began feeling my way online. I thought I might go into writing homeschool curriculum and developing homeschool websites. But if I can just share for a second what relationship marketing means to me. It's connecting with your audience in a way that shows you're a real human being, connecting and caring about another human being, not just a faceless company. Relationship marketing builds a sense of trust and, to me, powerfully effective relational marketing for the long haul can only be done by people who genuinely care for others. And that takes a lot of commitment. Speaker John Maxwell talks about how much time he invests in building his relationships to really cement an understanding that you are like me and we're on the same team. So when you get somebody on your team, then you invest the time to nurture that relationship. And for me, a powerful visual that illustrates relationship marketing and how I got started, a few years ago, my grandmother, the heroine of my life, had a stroke. And here she was at age 89, Marnie, learning how to walk and talk all over again. So she met those challenges with, you know, the gusto and feistiness of my grandmother. One day I went to see her working with an occupational therapist, and they were nearing the end of the session, so I sat down beside Gran, and the occupational therapist reached out her hands and took Granny's in hers, and smiled, this huge smile, of a, just like she was so proud of all of Gran's accomplishments. And I could tell that Gran was proud of herself. She reared back her head and just laughed with joy. So I'm sitting there on the bench beside my grandmother. Our shoulders are touching. But honestly, it was like I had risen to the ceiling and I was watching this from above. And it looked like tangible hope was being transferred from the occupational therapist's hands into my grandmother's hands. And this event it was surreal. It became this living, breathing event in my head, and I was constantly thinking of it for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And I watched the replays in my head and over and over until it finally hit me. I'd been praying about what to do online, and it was in that moment like God said to me, this is what I want you to do. I saw myself reaching my hands through a computer into invisible cyberspace, grasping the hands of somebody and imparting hope, just like the occupational therapist did for my grandmother. Now, back then, you know, there weren't any social media sites, and so marketing really seemed ambiguous. And a lot of people would send emails out saying the blank company, and, you know, you just didn't even know if there was a real person behind that. So I didn't know how I was going to reach my hands through the computer.
Right.
But I knew that that was the goal. That was the mission that God had for me. So I wanted to share that visual, of reaching through cyberspace as the goal of relationship marketing. You're more than an entrepreneur. You've got something more than just a product to share with people. You share your kindness, your hospitality, your truth, your inspiration with your audience. And that will be an extremely powerful place to connect with them. We've all heard it said, you know, it's easier to sell to your current subscribers and clients than to get new ones. It takes a lot of momentum and energy to gain a new client.
Right.
And for many entrepreneurs, 80% of their revenue comes in from recurring income from clients they already have. So nurturing that relationship with your clients is crucial. And the wonderful news is that you have your own unique way of reaching out that nobody else can replicate. And they may try to mimic you, but that can only last a short time because it takes a whole lot of energy to try to be somebody you're not. So you, being you, is just perfect in relational marketing.
Love that story that just brings it down to such a personal level where we actually have the opportunity to actually influence a life, not just market to people, but actually to influence a life. I know I always like to... when I'm writing the Marnie Minute, to the personal note in there, just realizing that, you know, and Lisa, I don't know if you found this too, when I send those out, the ones that get the most response are the days that I'm kind of struggling with something, that I'm having a hard time, and people really write back and say, thank you for saying that, because it just looks like you have everything together, or I feel like I'm the only person going through a hard time, or, you know, whatever, and just being real with people, it makes a huge difference.
It absolutely does. And there's something so endearing about somebody who takes off, you know, the guru mask, and you look in there and you go, oh, you're just like me.
It's the real person, right? Yeah. Now, and for those of you who haven't already done so, you can download the training notes over at marniesfriends.com, or if you're listening to the archives at leadershipattitudes.com. But how does... I can kind of see how this would transform a business, but that's actually one of the words you say, is that this relationship marketing approach can transform a business. Tell us how you think it can make that big of a difference.
Yes. You know, in there's a book, How to Win Customers and Keep Them for Life. And there was a statistic that just blew me away. 68% of people, okay, that's almost two-thirds of your audience, stop buying from a business because of why? Well, I would think the prices are too high. You went to the store and you couldn't find what you wanted. Somebody treated you rude at the checkout, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But no, it says 68% of customers stop buying from a business because of an attitude of indifference toward the customer by the owner, manager, or some employee. Indifference says, I don't care about you at all. You know, I just go to work, I sit, I do my job. I don't reach out, and folks trickle away. So people are looking for connection. They're looking to be acknowledged. And the book also says that the average business loses half its customers every 5 years.
Wow.
So, oh my. It's so vital to connect with people, show them you care, nurture those relationships so people stay with you. You're a real person who cares about the real person reading your work.
Right.
And folks aren't an order number. You know, they're real people with real hearts, real issues,
right.
real tears.
Right.
And if they buy your product, they'll be blessed. If not, then maybe you can just be an encouragement to them through your newsletter or website. It's all about connecting, blessing, and building trust.
And you are really big about doing this from your own unique style or personality type. So maybe explain how we can do that a little bit.
Okay. I created a destiny test that helps folks decipher their passion in life. And it also reveals your core connecting style. It's called Step into Destiny. And it talks about the four kinds of connecting types. If you want to take that test and get your results, you can do that for free at stepintodestiny.com. So the four types are: the S stands for service and step, the T stands for truth, the E stands for empathy, and the P stands for potential. Now, the service type loves to be connected with and connects to other people through personal history, life details, and words of wisdom. And I'll repeat this several more times throughout the thing, so if people are taking notes, you can get this. So service is personal history, life details, and words of wisdom. The truth connects to other people via a cause or a strong opinion.
Okay.
The empathy connects to people by sharing their feelings and inspiring others to be happy. And the potential connects to others through helping them become aware of their own inner strengths and accomplishing their dreams. So let me give you an example of each one so you can know how to use it in email marketing. My grandmother was a service. That's personal history, life details, and words of wisdom. So if somebody came to the door, my grandmother would greet you arms open wide, sit down, let me talk to you. You know, you never got to the point straight on. You always got to know the person first. And if you were from the South, you know, you'd ask them if they wanted something to eat at least three times.
Okay.
I remember one gentleman came by from a local funeral home, and he comes in the house and sits down, and the first thing my grandmother says is, "Where are you from? Where's your family from?" That was always important because she was reared in the area and wanted to know, you know, if she knew your people. Chances are that she would know, you know, somebody who was kin to somebody in everybody's family. Hmm. So the guy says he's from Camargo, and Gran says, "Oh, my gosh, we used to live there." She throws out some different last names of people, and sure enough, they found a connection. She knew his family. So family is really important when you're connecting with service people. And, you know, one way to do that is to share some of your own personal history. When I was a kid, we used to do this, and some life details, personal life details. Now, my friend Paul is a truth connector. He rallies around a cause. A lot of times that's political, you know, whether it's a national or local issue. He's got an opinion on how to make things fair and right, and he's going to share those opinions. And he wants you to share yours as well, and they don't have to agree with his. But there's that connection because you're making it through a cause or an opinion. The conversation can get lively, but the connection is being established. So if your market is mostly truths, then sharing a controversial idea or strong opinion will actually excite that audience and get them to feel a connection to you. My friend Carol has an empathy style, and she connects through her feelings to other people. So her writing is filled with encouragement and joy, and it's very personal. She shares inspirational stories that she's heard with people, and folks feel very drawn to her, like she understands everything about them and where they're coming from. So there's that empathy. Now, I'm a potential connector, and I focus on a person's individuality, their potential, their self-awareness, like taking, you know, a core passion test. Mm-hmm. So when I write to my audience, I focus on connecting them to their strengths or inspiring them to reach a dream. So everybody has their own style, and you don't have to act like somebody you're not. Your style within the connecting type is totally unique. And again, if you are yourself, people will be drawn to you.
Fascinating.
If you carry that style, yeah, if you carry that into your email writing, it will help build trust very quickly.
I love to, Lisa, I love the study of the personality types, and I've never heard these four. This is so fascinating. So do you encourage people to actually try to communicate with all four, or do you just mostly say, just figure out who you are and be true to yourself?
Well, you know, usually somebody's market, well, sometimes somebody's market has their own type. And so one of my niches is a self-help niche, and it's very much I can connect with them through my potential lingo. There are certain phrases that really help people open up to you and think, oh, man, this person really gets me, and there's nothing more powerful in a relationship than feeling validated and like you're understood.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'll talk in a moment about some specific kinds of markets and their type. But some don't really have a type. For instance, weight loss. It's not just like only services need to lose weight.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, I mean, that just takes the general population. So
right.
In that case, you would want to connect with, you know, I might send out one email in a certain lingo, and or instead of using the lingo myself, I would just be my relational self and then give some testimonials. And you'll get testimonials from people who are truth people, you know, and how they
sure.
just kind of give their opinion point, and that's it. You'll get them from the empathy people. And so if you put those testimonials in your emails at the end, then that allows people to connect with the benefits of your product in the
mm-hmm.
exact language that speaks to them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So
and
I
you
would
really
do
let,
that if I had a broad niche.
Yeah, so you would let the people who that is their language speak in that language and you continue to speak in your own. I like them. Interesting. So the different categories are service, truth, empathy, and potential. And do you find that these are, like, in certain, like, maybe in the church you would have especially heavy on one, or in, like, maybe accounting businesses you'd have heavy on one, or are they just really across the board?
No. People who are different patterns, they tend to gravitate towards certain jobs, careers,
mm-hmm.
Even churches. I know there are churches who are very service oriented, and it almost you could like put the title of the church as being God's hands and feet to the
mm-hmm.
world. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very hands on active. Then there are some churches who are prophetic. And that emphasis is mostly a potential because you're tapping into the visions and dreams of people. It's interesting. You can type somebody, Marnie, pretty quickly by just listening to their prayer. Because, and I find this so humorous and I just love it. We tend to think God is our type. And so
that's funny. Of course,
yeah.
Just subconsciously, of course, you must think like me since you made me. Yeah, okay, that's
exactly.
Great. I love it.
So you usually hear the service people pray and say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to reach out to others and to serve them. And
mm-hmm.
It's very action-oriented to do this, to do that. You'll hear a truth person say, thank you for being a just and righteous God.
Right.
You are true in all your ways, you know. The empathy will pray, give us your compassion for other people.
Compassion. Sure.
Love, you know, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy, and they'll comment on that. And the potential folks will pray, They always quote the verse in Jeremiah, Lord, you've given me a hope and a future, and, you know, you make my dreams come true, and I'm looking to you for, you know, the visions and the dreams.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that great?
That is so much fun. That's so fun.
So
that's
if you're
fun.
Confused about a person's type, just ask them to pray.
Just pray. Could you just pray a minute for me so I can figure out who you are? Yeah, that's so great. And, you know, I mean, from God's perspective, how fun. I always think that, too, you know, all the different personalities, all the different kinds of church services on Sunday. And he is honored by all of them. He built them all into us and is so honored by all of them when we give them back to him. So beautiful. We're going to take a short break and come right back and talk about the importance of being you in your emails. We're going to be right back.
Do you carry a few extra pounds around than you'd like? Are you sick to death of dieting? Or maybe sick of resisting the urge to diet because every time you try, you gain back more than you lost? Check out eatingwithgod.com. That's eatingwithgod.com. It's the easiest, most obvious, and most powerful non-dieting approach to weight management that you'll ever find. Starting today, you can enjoy every bite eating with God. Learn more at eatingwithgod.com. The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie, and I'm happy to have you with us this afternoon. Our guest today, Lisa Rae Preston, is talking to us about maximizing your email marketing, and we've had a fun first part of the program here. Excited that you are with us for the second part. I wanted to just give you the website again. She mentioned that there's a free test you can take over at stepintodestiny.com. That's stepintodestiny.com. So just head on over there and take that test. We were talking about the four different types of personalities when we are dealing with email marketing: service, truth, empathy, and potential. And a little bit about the importance of being yourself in your emails. And Lisa, what else did you want to tell us about that?
Well, when you are writing, write with your distinct personality. And this, another little story, the whole thing isn't about my grandmother, but I have so many wonderful stories from her. Just before she passed away, we were working on a website. She had cures for all kinds of things, and her mother had cures for all kinds of things. So we were conglomerating them into this website. So I asked her in writing her email series, well, granted, somebody came up to the door, and you were going to invite them in, what would you say? And she'd say, well, honey, come right on in and sit right down here. You're so sweet to come over. And that is exactly how I wrote her emails. The personality that came through was incredible, just like she talked. And the emails came out as brilliant writing, not because I wrote them, but because she talked them and they were her. And so you just kind of fall in love with her. She was hysterical and never meant to be, which made it even that much more funny. So it's important to be yourself, and your subscribers will love you for it. Just like you said earlier, when you let down your guard and you just share, right, you know, some of your human side, people, it's like, oh, man, I really like this person, because they make you feel better about being human.
Right, right. Well, what do you think about when you said that about your grandma? I was trying to envision how that would come out in writing, because without the inflection, without the twinkle in the eye, without the extended arm, how does that actually work in email writing?
I don't know. Except that.
Good answer.
Seriously. The intention you have when you write the email, when you write and you're writing to just one person as if that's somebody you really care about deeply, it comes across, and I can't explain it. But I've had so many people write me and say, I know that you're sending this email out to thousands of people, but I feel like you just wrote to me, so I'm writing you back. And somehow that will come across.
Beautiful. Cool. Well, let's go ahead to the fourth point here. Your market's core connection has a type, and we want to create emails that click with that brain pattern. So go ahead and explain what all that is.
Yes. Well, you really connect with somebody, Marnie, when you connect with the thoughts that are already running through their head.
Hmm.
And so many niches, like we said, do have a dominant core pattern. With gardening, for instance, you've basically, you know, generally have a hands-on group. It's the service type. And so you would connect with them based on personal history, life details, and words of wisdom. They love the feel of the dirt, pressing the dirt down as you're transplanting, very tactile, in tune with their environment and nature. And they're often very detail-oriented. Hmm. So the gardener's going to love tips on how to save time, how to find a good deal. Traditionally, gardening has had a family-type feel to it, so you may talk a bit about your family in your emails and blog posts. So for this gardening niche, I would tell personal experiences with gardening, short and sweet country garden tips, details on how to save money in your garden, and other service types of niches include cooking, quilting, woodworking, the hands-on kinds of niches as a whole will be drawn to people who connect with them with the service techniques. Now, if you contrast that with the potential pattern, which is becoming aware of your strengths and accomplishing your dreams, that's kind of more of the self-help niches. And in general, self-helpers are more cerebral. Now, I'm not saying they're not hands-on, but they do tend to be, as a group, more in tune with their feelings, their strengths, and their weaknesses, and they have this longing for their potential to be realized. So when writing to a self-help audience, establish a potential connection with their dreams, visions, goals, their personal mission in life. Use metaphors and imagery to spark their imagination and creativity. That will really get you into the potential heart.
This is so good, Lisa. I can't even believe I've never heard of this. And this is such good material. Thank you. Just keep on going.
Okay. Well, good. A market made up primarily of mothers may be from the empathy pattern. And so here you want to share your feelings and inspire them to be happy. They're going to be drawn to marketers who connect with their heart. So let's say you have a homeschooling audience. I would connect with them in a nurturing way, helping them feel embraced and cared for, encouraged and uplifted about this, you know, huge decision that they've made to stay home and educate their family, and that's a big sacrifice. So I want to show them that I really understand their frustrations and that I really would like to help them. And if you're connecting with a list around a truth pattern, which is causes and opinions, you're stating your passion and your opinions, and you may sound a little bit upset at times. You know, what did you think about the referee in that game? Didn't that freak you out when this happened? And it's a little controversial. Truth connectors love controversy. They don't get repulsed by it. It adds a spark of fun to them. So controversy brings attention, and a truth audience will tune in to see your opinion whether or not they agree with you.
Mm.
So that's how knowing the brain pattern of your niche, you know, how can it help you establish crucial connections with them from the very beginning.
Mm. Fascinating. Fascinating. Now, have you done any research, like, or do you know which of these niches is going to be the one that gets the most, like, social media involvement? Is it the truth people that are most involved with social media, or do you know?
That really isn't a core issue. It's kind of across the board, but you can use social media from the core. For instance, you could probably think of some people on your Facebook or something, that a lot of truths, and I have a cousin who does this, will just share the things that they find totally ridiculous or asinine, like how could this be happening out there? Okay. And look at this article. Look at this video. Can you believe this? And they're going on and on. And I said to my cousin the other day, I said, you know, I always watch you on Facebook because you tell me the stupid things in the world. And because of you, I know what's stupid.
You define stupid for me.
Because for him, it was, you know, really funny and a way for us to connect. The empathy people, well, oh, my gosh. I've got so many Facebook posts that I've saved their empathy. And they'll even say, oh, I love my brother and my sister so much. If you don't have a brother and sister like me, oh, I just wish you did because they do this and then this. And hugs to you all. And, you know, they're just very open with how much they love people. Potential people are always, you know, they're connecting somebody to TEDx talks or, you know, found something new and novel or isn't this interesting stuff about the brain neuroscience. They're really into that. And then service people tend to be really interested in Pinterest and recipes and sharing those things that you can do hands-on, maybe sharing stuff about TV and the entertainment industry. Or they tell you how much they did during the day.
Right, right. The to-do people. The to-do list people.
Yes, yes.
Cool, cool. Very cool. Okay, so if I don't know my market's core, like the connection that's going to work for them, I mean, maybe I can just look at myself. If I have a market, maybe I am picturesque of my market. But how do you suggest finding that out?
That really, if you're if you've done a lot of research into your market, to their desires, their frustrations, their the things that bring them the most pain and the solutions that they find the most helpful. If you have a lot of information gathered about your niche, it's fairly easy to decipher if they fit in one of those categories. Again, there are those niches that don't really have one type in general. The massage industry, you know, for instance, if you're a massage therapist, it's not like only services want massages because they've been out playing sports all day. You know, everybody would like their muscles, you know, loosened up and taken care of. So, again, in that respect, it's a gentle dance because there are opposite patterns. And so when you empathy and truth are opposite. So if you speak empathy to a truth, a good 50% of your words are invisible. They just don't get the lingo because they're standing facing a different direction. And so what you say you are seeing is correct, but not from their perspective. And so there's a lot of confusion there. So you definitely don't want to intermingle. Let me talk to the, you know, empathy people in this first paragraph and then go to the truth people because it's just going to bring confusion and fuzziness.
Wow, interesting. So potential is opposite to service then.
It is. It's the linear thinker versus the multidimensional webbed thinker.
So how do you communicate to all of them at once?
The best way I've found to do it is through testimonials. I mean, you're going to have to be yourself.
Right.
And I'm careful, you know, if I'm writing to a gardening community, that I use their lingo in it. But I'm still using my personality, and I'm a potential, and that's going to come out a little bit. But I'm talking their lingo, so they're going to know that, you know, and feel the connection with me.
Okay.
But to add in the testimonials from other people who are saying, you know, this is what I got from this information, and this is how it changed my life, then those people can speak directly to the four, you know.
Interesting.
So I would definitely want testimonials from all four cores on my website.
Interesting. Such great advice. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. We're visiting with Lisa Ray Preston today. She's talking about how to maximize your email marketing. We're going to come back and talk about the five love languages and how to use those in your email marketing, and we will be right back.
Do you ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com.
This is Marnie. Welcome back to Marnie's Friends. For visiting today with Lisa Ray Preston. Her website is instantnicheemails.com, and she's talking to us about maximizing your email marketing. And today we're progressing through our notes quickly. We are down to the five love languages and how to use them in your marketing. Lisa, for those who don't know the five languages, why don't you go ahead and start us out with those?
Yes, Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, is a real life changer. One of the top three books I've read. And according to Chapman, the five love languages are gift giving, quality time, physical touch, words of encouragement, and acts of services. Acts of service. Sorry, got my brain pattern mixed up. So by speaking these languages, the other person receives a message as if they're being cherished and respected and loved. And again, there's this visual of reaching your hands through cyberspace, grasping somebody's hands, and being able to deliver that message effectively to them. Love languages are a great way to do this. It's what I do in writing emails is to use words that relate to each language. And I'm not going to put all five love languages in one email because that could get, you know, a little over the top. But for gift giving, for instance, if you say something like, oh, by the way, as a special gift for you for subscribing, I'd like to share my audio on, you know, fill in the blank. So any little gifts, any special reports, using the term gift really connects you with those people who are gift givers. For quality time people, you might say, I just love spending this time each week connecting with you. Or I'd just like to sit down and spend a moment with you. So, again, there's that, oh, gosh, this is a person who wants to be with me. Mm-hmm. And for a quality time person, that says, I love you. Mm-hmm. Physical touch. You know, you can actually say, you can't reach out and hug them, but, you know, sending a warm hug to anybody today who needs to know you're appreciated. Or high five to you, you know, those little kinds of phrases that say physical connection. Words of encouragement. I want you to know that I think of you during the week and I pray that you're prosperous in all things. Just, you know, some little nice word of encouragement that would build somebody up and help them feel happy. And then the acts of service, you might even say, you know, I've been hard at work creating a special blog post for you, and I'd like to give you that link and tell you what it's about. And the fact that you've been hard at work on their behalf connects with them and says, this is a person who cares about me.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I would just try to say I'm going to connect with one love language per email so that, again, you're not going overboard. It would be a challenge to get them all in there. Most people have a primary language and a secondary one, so the chances are that in an email that you are touching a lot of your audience, especially when you're first working on developing your relationship with people. The first five emails you send out to your audience are really important. So, you know, in those first five emails, if you use one of the love languages along with your core connector brain pattern language, then you have a huge impact, and the chances of you retaining your subscribers long term is huge.
I liked in his book, Five Love Language, I like how they talked about the difference between talking in a person's love language and not talking in their love language, speaking in your own that's maybe different from theirs. Was the difference between speaking English to an English speaker or speaking Russian to an English speaker. And I loved that analogy. It really made sense to me that, yeah, you can be saying all the words, even all the right words, even with the right inflection and the right, you know, body language and the right heart. But if you're speaking in a different language, the person really is not getting it. They're trying, but they just really can't hear you. And I loved that, and it made so much sense to me right away. Just like you, that book made a huge difference in my life. Went through it for my family members and found that, yeah, this makes a big, big difference. I remember the day, and this isn't about email marketing, but just about the power of the love languages. My daughter was having just a really, really bad day, and she's maybe 8 or 9 at the time. And we were homeschooling, and she was just having a terrible day. It was just going bad, bad, bad. And she'd gone down to her room, and I just found some little something, and I can't remember if it was a candy bar or what it was, but I just found something, and I went and I opened her door of her room, threw it in, and shut the door again. I didn't even look at her or talk to her or anything. But because she was a giftie, I knew to do that, and I came out of a different room, and there she was, sitting at the kitchen table, happily doing her schoolwork. What changed? Oh. Nothing, except that she heard me say, I love you, I value you, you're a wonderful person, just because I threw her that little gift, you know, without words. So it was so powerful to me that day, and I know that when we do take the time to bother with connecting with people in their own love languages, wow, they really feel it, and that makes a big difference in their lives.
That's beautiful.
Now, okay, so of course we don't know what their love languages are when we're email marketing to a mass of people. We've got people in all these different love languages, and so I like your idea of just trying to hit one or two per email, you know, not trying to make every email completely across the board to all these people, but just to incorporate it as you're going forward, sometimes, at least sometimes, speak in their love language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Okay, let's go on to relationship marketing. How do we connect versus market?
Yes, you can connect with people, and they can love you to pieces, but you still have to make money, right?
Right.
Establishing relationship is the foundation of it, though. Some of the techniques I recommend is that your emails, if you make them as short as possible, and people are busy, respecting their time with a short email is a great way to begin a relationship. And you train people that, oh, yes, I can open this email and read it in 1 to 2 minutes, and, you know, that's what they're going to do. I get wonderful emails from some companies and places I signed up for, but they've trained me that if I open it, it's going to take me 5 to 10 minutes to go through everything.
Right.
So
right.
I file it away in a folder. I have probably 10,000 of those in that folder, and I've never gotten back any of them. So it's really good to keep your email to 200 words or less, if at all possible.
Wow. Okay, that's short.
Pardon?
That's short.
200 yes,
words.
Short.
Yeah. Good.
So if you're sending out purely awesome content in a brief format, you don't really talk to them about buying anything, but just establish yourself as a trusted friend. And again, if you have a gardening site, you might say, you know, I was at my friend's house and saw these roses. You won't believe. Here's a picture. And then send them back to your site to look at the picture. And then on your site, of course, you can have your advertisements for your garden products. But you're not selling in the email. It's very subtle. Gardeners are also frugal-minded folks as a whole, and they'll spend thousands of dollars on gardening materials, but if they feel like they're getting a deal, then they're really happy. So you can I'm a gardener, into marketing strategy number two by saying, you know, I'm always looking for the best deals out there in gardening, and when I find the best of the best, I can't help but share them with you. And then give a couple-sentence review about a product, you know, that you found with your affiliate link, or if it's your own product and you're having a special sale. send them, you know, to the place where they can get the 80% off, or, you know, you look like you're just sharing from your heart a great deal with somebody. You don't come across as a pushy salesperson. Right. And instead of repelling your audience, you boost your reputation through recommending a special deal that you got on a fantastic product. And you can do that straight off the bat. People, you know, you're their hero when you provide a link for 75% off or more.
Right.
So you position yourself as a good friend who's looking out for your subscriber. That's the kind of relationship you want to be creating.
Okay.
Some little technical things that help is with some services, they ask you to double opt in your subscribers so that instead of just, you know, somebody putting their email address in, they have to actually click on a link to say, I do want to be subscribed to this list. And there's a confirmation email that's sent out. So, Marnie, I always encourage people to customize that confirmation page, because the default one is not relationship-oriented. It just takes a few minutes, but some people overlook that. And, you know, that is the first connection they're going to have with you in their email inbox. So that's really where you want to show your personality and create relationships. So, in the from section, I would always make it my name and not my company, because people open up emails more from people than from companies. I would personalize the subject line and get them curious about opening your email by asking a question in the subject line or pointing out a benefit. We talked about this a little bit earlier. You want to make sure that all your content is superior. And always be thinking, how is this going to make my reader feel? You've heard that comment. People will forget what you did for them, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. So be asking, how will this email make my reader feel? Every part of your website, every step of the way. Make sure your buyer feels cared for and welcomed. Then in your email, the focus of your email is to get the click on the link that you send. Send them back to your site or sales page or affiliate page. So remain focused to this end. You want to get the reader to click through. You can share that you have a solution to their frustration or their pain, and then get them back to your site to read more. And then how do you start an email? So let's say you've got a great subject line. You know, you're speaking their lingo. You've got their love language in there, but how do you start? Sometimes that's the hard thing, you know, just to get going. So you can share a little highlight of a frustration that your reader's going through. You can open with a question or an unusual statistic. These three ideas keep people reading, and that's your goal, to get them from the first paragraph to the second paragraph to the third paragraph to clicking the link. And you want to do all this as short, you know, as brief as you can.
Awesome. These are such good tips. One of the things I took training from you, I think it's over a year ago, that you did with Marnie Pearson, and then afterwards I got your email, and I can't remember what it's called. Help me with the name of it. It's an email process to set up emails in advance. It's like templates. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That's the instant niche emails.
That's the instant niche email. Okay, and that's actually the website we were talking about today, is www.instantnicheemails.com. And that was so helpful. But this information is like, this is like adding on to that so much. Really, really good stuff. And how did you develop all of this?
Oh, gosh. I was sitting in my living room, and I asked the Lord to help me think of something that would help people save a ton of time and that would be really beneficial to them. And it came to me, well, people, you know, if they have a website, they want to keep in contact with their subscribers. But let me tell you, writing those emails every week, that is, it's an intimidating thing. It sounds like something easy that you could do, and you say, okay, every Monday I'll do this, but that is one of the first things that people sweep under the carpet when emergencies happen or life gets really busy.
They drop that.
So I thought, wouldn't it be great if you could press a button and have a whole year's of whole year of emails written for you? And, of course, you know, that was impossible. But I thought, well, wait a minute. Could it be possible that you could write in your own flavor, your own personality, build relationship, trusting emails, and share valuable content? Could that be put, you know, in a program or piece of software? And I walked around the most miserable soul for two whole days. I was honoring to everybody who I met, because I kept going through, no, this won't work, no, that won't work. And after 2 days, it kind of hit me, and I created the Instant Niche Email Program. So it does help you create a year's worth of emails in one day, and then you can upload them and for an entire year, you know that your people are being connected with. I read a statistic that in 1 or 2 months after you stop connecting with somebody, all it takes is that few amount of weeks before you have to start the relationship building and trust building all over again with them, because they kind of forget the benefit of who you are. So we can't afford not to connect.
It's interesting, because when I went through your program, it opened my eyes. I don't do that. I don't set them up all in advance like that. I actually write them every week, but it's because I want to. And what it did for me, Lisa, is it opened my eyes to all the different ideas that there are. There's so many different angles that you can come at things, and it was so beneficial to me. And then I've been able to use some of that in my social media as well, because I do preset some of those posts, and so that was helpful to me to be able to think. And I think what you gave me personally in that program was you gave me the ability to think outside the box that I'd been thinking in, and to think in this preset box where it's like, okay, just because I said it early doesn't mean I didn't say it. I'm still saying it. I'm just saying it early. I'm putting it in a bin until the day it goes out. You know, so it helps me to get kind of past the feeling of that being a little bit, oh, less personal or something. For me, that was an issue where I had to get my brain around that. And so thank you for that. And for those of you listening, it's just an awesome opportunity for you to not only get your brain around it, but if you want to really set things up in advance and put it on autopilot so that you can do other things with your time, it's a great opportunity to do that. Out of the Instant Niche Marketing or Instant Niche Emails program, what's a story that you have that you can share with us about that?
Well, this is not a good example, and it's embarrassing because it's my own, not a good example. But I had written this program. It started out to be a piece of software, and now it's I took the software part of it out and created it a little differently. It's actually much faster than using the software. And so I had this way to create a year's worth of emails, and I did not do that for my own niche. Well, when my grandmother passed away, my life just fell apart. I went into a very deep depression and was in a fetal position sometimes 8 hours a day. It was very difficult. So I could not market. Had I had a year's worth of emails already in place, it would have saved my hide in a lot of ways. So sometimes you overlook the things that are right in your own backyard. But I wrote the program, and then I thought, like you, I really enjoyed writing the emails every week. Never occurred to me, you know, that I would be dealing with something that incapacitated me. So it's very nice to get the things done ahead of time.
You are talking to me today, girl, because I'm going to need to go ahead and put that together, even though I don't necessarily need to use it. I need to have it there sitting there in case something comes up, because my life is like that, not as intense as what you went through, but definitely busier seasons and less busy seasons. Sometimes the busy seasons are very difficult to be creative, find the time to do the things in the process, and why not just have it set up in advance for those times that you need to put it on autopilot. That's awesome. Well, we are nearing the end of our time together. I'm so grateful that you were here. For listeners, the two links that we shared today, once again, were stepintodestiny.com. That's where you can take that free test to determine what your core passion is. And the other one is instantnicheemails.com, and that's where her program of setting up a year's emails at one time comes from. Lisa, what's the final thought you have for us today?
Just that the amazing creation that you are is what you want to share with other people. You know, you said how much the Lord delights in us and how he created us and how we thrill his heart just to watch us. That's what you want to show to other people, you know, the brilliance of how he made you.
Mm. Yeah, the courage, really. It takes a lot of courage to be you. It takes a lot of courage to be me, because we're weird. We're not like anybody else exactly. And sometimes we wonder if that's okay. But, of course, it's perfectly exactly what God wanted. Otherwise, he would have made us like somebody else. He wanted us to be a little different, a little unique, maybe a little strange, a little off the beaten path, because he loves us just the way we are. One of the things I realized years ago, Lisa, is that I've written several songs, and I have a CD out now that has different praise teams and groups singing my songs. But originally, the only place in the entire universe that God could go to hear my songs was my living room. And it occurred to me that that's kind of how it is in all of the parts of our lives, whether it's a song or whether it's the way that you speak a word, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you embrace, the way you cook, the way you garden, the way you write. There is nobody else in the entire universe that does it the way you do. And just the way that we love our kids so much because of how unique they are, God loves you because of how unique you are. He loves that about you, and he wants you to be you, be fully you. And so, Lisa, thank you today for giving us permission as well as equipping us to better do that for the glory of God. I'm just so grateful.
Oh, thank you, Marnie. It's been a joy.
And thank you all for being here today. If you haven't done so already, you're going to want to check out Lisa's sites that we've been mentioning, and also over at Marnie.com, the mentorship program over there. For those of you who are already members of that program, welcome back, and you finished another hour of training. By the way, these trainings, once you're in the mentorship program, if you submit the training notes that you've completed, then we send you out a certificate for an hour of ongoing education that you can submit to your organization or business association for your ongoing education requirements there. And Lisa, thank you for being one of our experts and for joining us today.
Thank you, Marnie.
Okay, and thanks, everybody. We will see you next time, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Successfully maximizing the gifts God has given us is the best gift that we can give back to God. Are you 100% clear about why you're here, about how God defines success for you personally? Are you on track with God's plan for your life? The best life on planet Earth, followed by the best possible eternity for you? If not, check out the Success Principles Intensive Training course over at Marnie.com. It's a 6-hour online program that will change how you define and do your life from today forward. It's a biblically based approach to goal setting and achievement. So check it out under the Training tab at Marnie.com.